Okay, so we had gotten up to multi-purposed types of kalim that have three different things. That was Perikov Dalid. And we had dealt with Achorayim V'toch and all of its fascinating conceptual ideas. What's the inside and what's the outside in Perikov Hey. And we also talked about the recreation of a kli by the simple virtue of having shnatzot, which talks about sandals made out of flat pieces of leather, or containers made out of flat pieces of leather, or backpacks made out of flat pieces of leather that are no longer flat because you've got these straps in them and so on, and whether the straps were there. That was Perikov Vav, which was sandal. Now, Perikov Zion is one of these, along with Perikov Ches, one of these very broad and putting it all together. The closing prokim are the sort of summaries of seeing different things together. So in this perek, we're going to be talking about the different shiurim of beged, sack, or mapatz. Because remember, a question then would arise, if we had this back in Shabbos too in many other places, can you be mitzarev different materials with different shiurim? And that was, we actually brought the Mishnah and Kalim from here to the Gemara in Shabbos when we were talking about the chamor, where you've got, according to Rashi, you've got these separate little patchworks of tefach a piece. According to Tosfos, you don't need to have a patchwork. Each piece is itself able to be mekabel tuma under certain circumstances as tumas midras, and that's enough. So sharing one set where there are different shiurim is enough to allow tziruf, where there are the same shiurim, is enough to allow tziruf in different shiurim. So because of that, we actually talk about the differences between the various types of materials, right? So we have beged, so that's cloth, we have sack, we have or, we have eitz, and we have kli cheres, and we do have others as well, but we're going to wait until the end to talk about zchuchit. As you can see, that's the closing paragraph. So we leave that, and what's interesting is that there are completely different ways of being mekabel tumas. It's important to remember, because when it comes to kli cheres, it's very limited. It can only be mekabel tuma in the sense of having a base kibbol, right? Now, there's certainly other ways that eitz can become tame, because not only can it be a source of a kli kibbol to be mekabel tuma, but it can also be moshav. So tuma's moshav is added to wood. But in the case of a kli cheres, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. How about or? Or can be mekabel tuma in a new way. And that is, it can itself become tame as an ohel over a mace. If you take a piece of wood and put it over a mace, it's not going to become tame. But or will become tame. Now we can go even more than that, because we can have a new din of tuma on a beged, and begodim are mekabel tuma because they are simply woven. And leather cannot become, let's say if you have, you cut up your leather, it's not going to be mekabel tuma anymore. Masha inkein, if it's a woven piece, even a tiny woven piece that's a piece of cloth or something, is mekabel tuma. Even the sholosh al sholosh, right? I mean, my gosh. So that is a completely new idea of tuma, which is all the way down. Now, we also will have the different halachas about the size, okay? So, beged, you can talk about shlosha al shlosha, which is talking about tvachim, but that's for midras. It needs to be bigger. But it can go all the way down to sholosh al sholosh etzbaot, if you're talking about being a kli to be mekabel tumas maga, which, remember, we always call tumas meis in this. The smallest you can go with sock, because it's so gross, is 4 by 4 tvachim. Or it's got to be 5 by 5 tvachim. A mapatz has got to be 6 by 6 tvachim. So because of that, you've got three etzba'ot, three tvachim, four tvachim, five tvachim, six tvachim for the various materials that we spoke about. So that's also a gradation in levels of tumah, all which are part, obviously, of this perek. And then the question is there a way to be mitzarif them that we spoke about, and we spoke about in Masechet Shabbos when we actually quoted this issue. And then we get into the whole differences of tziruv. What different types of kalim that are made out of different materials, in what way would they be mitzaref? And that was our classic case. Hamekatzea mikulam, tefach al tefach, was the case in this Mishnah, and that was the big sugya in Masechet Shabbos. So that is really a tremendously choshev single issue. All of these different shiurim are included. And we get to the question of what happens when something was once bigger and now it becomes cut up and it's now only going to be makabel in terms of its smaller shear. What is left of the tumah that was there before that suddenly is here but in a completely different type of tumah of shalosh al shalosh, and originally it was shalosh al shalosh and had that tumah, what's left? Or what happens when you're in the middle of a process of weaving something? The moment it becomes sholosh or sholosh, it's right to one type of tumah. What happens? It became tamei tumas meis. Now you finish the whole thing. Then you take off a piece of the original thing. Oh, what happens then? Is this a new kli because it's missing the part that was originally kabbal tumah, the sholosh or sholosh? Do we see it as extensions of the original? All kinds of rich, delicious issues that we have to think about. Okay, the next parak is called Shalosh al Shalosh, and that raises the kind of issues that we dealt with also in Masechet Shabbos. And that's the question. Remember, we had the idea of whether you're going to use something as a potholder, or you put it behind the door, you throw it into the garbage pail, and so on and so forth. You use pieces that were originally Shalosh al Shalosh, but now you squished it up and you put it as stuffing into a ball, and so on. So once it's put together, if you stitch something together that was originally shayach to be mekabel tumah, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. It has to really be sholosh al sholosh. Masha einkein, the difference, these are the differences between sholosh and sholosh, sholosh al sholosh. So if you're talking about sholosh al sholosh, then in fact, it can actually be mekabel tumah. So again, we've got all kinds of usage issues like that. You want to use it to plug up a bathtub. You've got this piece of cloth that plugs up a bathtub. You want to use it to make a baseball. And then the question is, what is called muchan? Also, the shiloh we had back in Shabbos. Is it muchan if it's behind your delet? Is it muchan only if it's hanging on a hook on top of your counter to be able to use? Okay, these are issues. We had a machlok, is what's considered to be minamuchan, what's not considered to be minamuchan. We know that from Shabbos. Questions, if you want to use a piece of material as a bandage, all right, what's the halach if you put, you've got something that's all covered with antibiotic goo on it. Okay, so turns out that there's a difference between beged, because then it becomes disgusting. Something's become disgusting. It's not considered to be usable. So even though it's going to be put on a wound, it no longer has its din of begin on that shear, at least according to the Chacham. That's the Machlokas. And then we had all these beautiful issues about what the din is of things that are decorated. Once they're decorated, let's say for a Sefer Torah, do they lose their Shem Tumah because now they're not going to be for people? And kalim that are kalim only for shimush of other kalim and not for kalim v'adam lose their shem kabbalah stuma. Okay, so what's the din? And when you're reading the Sefer Torah, if you're reading a Sephardi Sefer Torah, that piece that's hanging down is used by you to move the actual parchment of the Torah. So then it's not really for the Sefer Torah, it's for you also. All of these questions are the questions that we have to deal with over here. And changing usages. You could change, let's say, a leather chemet, right? And now you could turn it into a carpet by cutting it open. Now it's a carpet. You take a carpet, you turn it into a chemet. Or you take a piece of leather and turn it into a backpack. What is the din of the maintenance? And the klal over there, there's a klal. And that is if the name of the kli has changed, that it's no longer the same type of kli. So let's say you had a flat kli made into a container, a container kli made into a flat kli. That is considered to be the type of change that completely takes away any of the dinim of tumah that was there. And that gets us into the issues of patches, using kalim that were kalim only because they were woven kalim. Remember, a kli that's woven doesn't need that base kibbo because it's by definition something that encloses something else. Now the question is patchwork. What's the din of the patch when it's added to a bigger kli, when it's removed from the bigger kli, when it's taken off of your pants? It was originally a patch on a hole in the pant. It was originally a patch on a basket, the different dinim of the different sizes. All of these are going to be included in the issues of Chof Chet. Then in Chof Tet, we get into also a long list of measurements that are really logistical questions. What is the extension of a kli that is still useful? Why is that important? For yodais. So you have a piece that's sticking out, all right? The yad is also tame. How much is considered to be a yad for different things? Oh my God. I mean, we've got dozens of different things we have to talk about. The little pieces of material that hang from a scarf, or that a piece that hangs down from your hat that is used to tie the hat, or if it's on your undershirt and so on. What is the standard yad? And then we've got pieces that come out from a t-shirt that you can use to pull the shirt with. And what about these women that use a little thing to tie around their hair? The old women will usually tie like a network, or if you're wearing a belt that's got these extensions, or you've got a backpack that's got extensions hanging out from it that are usable to pick it up with, a bed that could be used by holding it up when you put it into the mikvah. So you've got straps that are on the bed, literally dozens of things. We're not going to go into the detail. The idea is clear. We need to define the useful part of a yad after the useful part. It's not that it stops being a yad, but you got a scale that's hanging on a piece of string, okay? And then you connect the piece of string to something in the roof, or you hold it up. So you may not, obviously it depends what kind of scale you're talking about. I mean, you're talking about, let's say, a scale for a guy who's dealing with gold. I mean, it's a little scale and he holds it up with his hand. It's tiny. You're talking about a scale that's used for weighing wheat. I mean, it's hung up by the roof. Obviously, each shear is for its purpose. It has to be defined as a yad. But doesn't mean that if it's too big, the whole thing is not a yad. It means that the piece is surprising. If you'll touch the string more than the requisite yad, let's say more than 3 tvachim on a handheld one or something, then it won't be allowed tumah to come from your hand into the kli or come from the kli into your hand. But if you move your fingers down a little bit, so now you're holding the same string, but you're holding it closer to the scale, then you could be matami the scale, or the scale could be matami you by going through the yad. So those are the type of things that we need to deal with in this parak. And then, of course, we reach the 30th parak, the end of the Masechet. And as we said, we left out of the main dinim of the different sizes and so on, we left out zechuchit. And remember, zechuchit was a very special kind of halacha. First of all, it's a creation of the Rabbana, because me'ikar hadin, zechuchit is never mentioned in any of the places in the Torah where we've got a dinim of tumah. So because of that, they have very special dinim. One of them is a din due to its transparency. So even though the halacha of being matami zechuchit is based on kli cheres, and that's because since the Torah says you can use types of minerals to make kalim, well, I mean, silicon is a type of mineral, and you use it to make kalim, which we call glass. So because of that, we're sort of extending the Torah's definition of the minerals that are used to make kalim. Okay, but then by that token, there should be a difference between toch and achuraim. Aha, but if something gets transparent, isn't that the whole point? That you don't make that this distinguish difference between inside and outside? Wasn't that the whole point of the Aragonas, the Chatchila? That you could look at something and know what's inside of it, and therefore things were not hidden in terms of insides and outsides. Everything was what it was, including your friend's heart, maybe even your own heart. So that would all be called transparency. We call it today transparency, right? Okay. So that transparency gives a completely different dinim. And it's got these other interesting characteristics, one of which is you can melt it down and fix it, which brings it into the same kind of construct as metal. So in that sense, a glass is a kind of metal. And there we have to deal with the issue of, do we have a halacha of shvira? Do we have a halacha of chozer l'tumah hayishana? Or do we say when it comes to this tumah d'rabbanan, in fact, we will be makel on that. But what defines a broken kli is very different. And there's another issue, and that is glass is dangerous when it gets chipped. So because of that, it defines breakage also in ways that we would not normally consider to be broken. So if we've got a wooden kli that's got like a chip out of the edge and is still usable to drink from, so that's not a problem. But when it comes to glass, it is a problem because people are not going to want to drink from something that even has a nick in it where they can hurt themselves. Okay, all of these types of special dinim that apply to glass and therefore to glass mirrors also as well are all in this perek. So basically the last prakim are the sum up prakim, which take all of the different things, juxtapose them to each other, talk about the differences between the modalities of Kabbalah's Tuma, the amounts of the shiurim of the Kabbalah's Tuma, the tziruf that allows them Kabbalah's Tuma, and actually looks at the difference between all kelim and glass, which we haven't had a chance to do, which gives us a beautiful picture of the Masechet as a whole. Once you look at it with that perspective, you can see very clearly what's happening. The details sometimes can make you get lost, but when you understand that we took all of those special dinim of Kli Cheres, made them part of the Bava Kama of Kelim, and then we took the contrasts of the other Kelim, talking about metal, which made a heck of a lot of sense. The metal Kelim had four prokim all to themselves, and then we had the wood issues and the bone issues and all of the different types of sackcloth, leather, which led us into dealing with the differences between Tumas Meis and Tumas Midras, which brought us down to the end of the Masechet, or let's say at the end of the Bava Metzia, and then in the Bava Batra, we needed to deal with the complexities of machinery, of touching things as machinery is working, of the ways that thing work together. And then to contrast the differences, seeing where they can be Mitzuraf, the different shiurim between them, great Masechet, tons of fun. So Bezrat Hashem, starting on Sunday, we should be able to move on to the next Masechet, and I'm sure you'll all get your oil lights ready.